Let's turn together in your copy of God's Word to the book of St. John. St. John chapter 10, a very, very familiar passage. I hope that you've read it, and hope if you haven't, you'll read it again and again. And if you've never read it, now's a good time to read it, John 10. I'm just going to lift out one verse to begin with, and we'll use some selected verses throughout the book of John as well in the message, and preach a message about how our Master ministers to mankind, how He ministers to us. John chapter 10, verse number 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." All through, beloved, the Old Testament and the New Testament as well, sheep are used as an example or as an analogy of God's children. I want you to listen to what the psalmist said back in Psalm chapter 80, verse 1. Just listen to this one verse. Psalm 80, verse 1. This is a psalm of Asaph, and he says this, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth, shine forth." In the New Testament, we who are believers in Jesus Christ know our Lord as the good shepherd as well. Listen to what Luke wrote in the book of Acts chapter 20. You want to look over there with me. Then Acts chapter 20, look at verse 28. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts 20, 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." What's a flock? Flock of sheep. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. The leader of the flock of God's sheep in the New Testament is, of course, a pastor, an under-shepherd, you might say. It's his responsibility to feed the sheep of God, to shepherd the flock of God. It means to take care of the flock of God, have mercy upon them, have compassion upon them, and try to meet their needs. Even the civil leaders in Israel, even in the Old Testament, they were known as shepherds. They were to care for the flock of God, even in the Old Testament. Unfortunately, we know, as history proves out, that all the leaders in the Old Testament period of time were not faithful to God or to the people. So the prophets had to keep warning, them and to, I guess you'd say, to chastise them, because they would try to drive the sheep, not lead the sheep. They would rob the sheep, not care for the sheep. But in the New Testament also, Jesus warned that the people of hirelings, those who would come in among the flock and pretend to be shepherds, that they'd actually be thieves or robbers. They would be graspers, getting all they could get from the flock, selfish, false shepherds, who'd come in, he says, and not spare the flock, but be more interested in money, power, than feeding the flock or caring for the flock or to share and to take care of the flock, not having compassion on them, not having mercy upon them. How radically different here in John 10:11, Jesus portrays himself as the good shepherd. The word good here in the good shepherd literally means he's the best. He's the choicest of all. He's the blameless one. He's a praiseworthy one. He's a beautiful one. He's the good shepherd. He's good for us. It's good for us to stop from time to time and just give some real thought and radical let our minds go back and think about what all Jesus, our shepherd, has done for us, and what he's doing for us in the present, and what he has planned to do for us in the future. From this chapter, John 10, I've lifted out four things I want to share with you, how that the Master ministers to us in a very special way, a very personal way, a very individual way, but yet in an eternal way as well. So I want to look at those four things with you. The first thing you notice is Jesus said, "I came that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." The first thing Jesus came to do for us is he came to die for us. The good shepherd, he says in verse 11, hath given or gives his life for the sheep. In verse 15, Jesus says, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." In the Old Testament, all those sheep that were slaughtered in a type to represent the shepherd, the ultimate good shepherd, chief shepherd, Peter says. But in the New Testament, the shepherd himself was sacrificed for the sheep. What a great transition from the Old Testament to the New, wouldn't you say? He died for the sheep. He died on the cross. Jesus said, "I lay down my life on the altar for the sheep." He knows us personally. He calls us by name. Look at verse 3 there. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." He gives us eternal life, he says in verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So he gives us eternal life, abundant life, life in himself. You know, it's always amazing to me, the ministry of our Lord, how that the story he told about how he left the 99 sheep, you know the story. One sheep had gone astray. He left the 99 in good, safe hands, and he goes on a search for the one sheep that went astray. And he doesn't stop searching till he finds that sheep, and he puts that sheep on his shoulders, near his heart, near his bosom, and he brings that sheep home safely to the flock. Thank God our Lord Jesus loved us enough to do that for us. Listen, I was that one stray. What about you? You could put your name in there. You was the one who was lost. You were the one who were astray. I was astray. Thank God he found us. Like the old hymn says, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." I go one farther than that. No one ever died for me like Jesus. Amen. Can I get a witness there? No one ever loved you enough to die for you. No one would ever love you enough to die for you, but our shepherd did. He sacrificed himself. He laid down his life voluntarily. He laid it down willingly. He laid it down personally. No one took his life. He laid it down. He took it up again. Our shepherd died for us. But you notice something? Our shepherd dying for us is just the beginning of what he's doing for us. He did die for us, yes, but there's much, much more that he's doing for us than just dying for us. Notice secondly, he lives for us. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 13, look at verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13 and verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The power of our God, our Father, brought back the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead to a glorified body. Not only did he arise from the dead, the Bible says with that glorified body, he ever lives. He's gone back to heaven. He's seated on the right hand of God on the throne, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. He didn't just die for us. He lives for us today. That means, according to Hebrews chapter 4, that anytime we need to, we can go straight to the mercy seat, straight to the throne of God to find help in time of need or mercy or compassion or even forgiveness of our sins anytime that we need to. He lives for us. He doesn't just live for us. He does that too. But he ever lives. He's always there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He prepares a way for us, as we studied in Sunday school this morning. His paths of righteousness are the paths he leads us in for his dear name's sake. So he died for us. He lives for us. But something else, he leads us. Look at verse 3 through 5 there in John 10. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." The word voice here in these verses that I just read is mentioned five times in these verses. His voice means that he speaks to us. He died for us. He lives for us. But he leads us. He speaks to us through the blessed Word of God. This is the Holy Spirit of God himself speaking to your heart and mind through the Word of God. The mark, now hear me well, the mark of any genuine Christian, I'm talking about a real person who's been born again by the Spirit of the living God, who has the Holy Ghost living inside them, a person who's a real genuine Christian, the first mark of that person's life is that he or she has a love for the Word of God and a desire in his heart or her heart to obey the Word of God, having an appetite. And there's no short of food there as he leads us through the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit guides us, and you have a desire in your heart to want to hear the Word and obey the Word. A real Christian can detect the voice of a hireling, a false shepherd, a false leader, a robber, a thief, Jesus says. They detect his voice quickly, and John says, a voice like this they will not hear, they will not follow, and they will not obey. So our good shepherd died for us. He lives for us. He leads us. Now, he leads us into green pastures, Psalm 23 says, for his name's sake, his paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants to nourish us from the blessed Word. Listen to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We will not follow false leaders, false shepherds, false under-shepherds, if you will. Carefully, Jesus leads us. We know his voice and immediately follow him. It's a sad truth that one day, listen to me, it's a sad truth that one day all those who are not a part of the flock of God, a sheep in his pasture, it's a sad note to one day, they also will stand before the shepherd and they'll hear him say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." What a sad day for those who may think they're a part of the flock. They may think they're a shepherd's sheep. They may think they're a Christian, and yet stand before him one day and hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." How sad. Well, these are just three short phases of the ministry that Jesus is doing for us now. He has died for us. He ever lives to intercede for us, to meet our every need, and he leads us and guides us all through the pathways and journeys of our life. But there's a fourth thing I want to share with you that Jesus is going to do for us, and this refers to the time to come, the time in the future. Jesus not only has died for us, he lives for us, he leads us, but praise God, one day he's going to come for us. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5. Listen to what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse number 4. 1 Peter 5, 4, Peter writes and he says, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Notice what he said, "and when the chief shepherd shall appear." Not if he's going to appear, or we wish he were going to appear, or we hope he's going to appear, or we think he might appear, or we just have the idea that he might come back. No, no. Peter says, "of a certainty, of a surety, our chief shepherd shall appear." That means he's coming one day for his flock. He's coming one day for his sheep. He's coming one day for his children. He's coming one day for his church, his body, his bride, his building, his Christian brotherhood. He will come again for us one day. Now, Peter writes this to pastors, under shepherds of those days and of our days as well. Now listen, but this is also to the sheep. Christ is not just coming for the under-shepherds. He's coming for the sheep. Every single one of His children, He's coming for us. Didn't He say the same thing in John 14? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Where is He? He's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father, reigning from the throne. And when He comes back one day to catch us and catch us away and take us home to be with Him, Peter says, you're all going to receive a crown of glory that fades not away. I know, and every pastor who's really got his heart into pastoring, a pastor's work is not easy. It's not the easiest work in the world that folks maybe think it is. It's a difficult work sometimes, but it's a calling of God to love God's people and to feed God's people and to nurture God's people and to weep with God's people and to have joy with God's people and to go through all kinds of experiences with God's people. The work of a pastor is not easy, and sometimes I'll have to admit, sometimes the sheep does not make it easier for the shepherd to do his job. But nonetheless, there may be some difficult sheep. But God will deal with those things in His own time and His own way. I want to read you a passage just a chapter or so back in the book of John chapter 9. Look at verse 28 and 9. John 9, 28 and 9. Then they reviled Him and said, Thou art His disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fellow, talking about Jesus, we know not from whence He is. Look at verse 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when He had found him, He said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, Yes, who is He? And Jesus said, I am He. And Jesus brought him into the flock. The leaders, the religious leaders, the so-called shepherds of Israel, would have cast this poor beggar completely out of the temple, completely out of the will of God, completely out of reach of reaching the Savior. But Jesus went to him like the one lost sheep, and He found him, and the good shepherd brought him back into the flock. Listen, the leaders here had seen a notable miracle. But their eyes were so blinded to the miracle of God, and their eyes were so blinded to their own sins that they didn't even realize it. These arrogant under-shepherds of Israel. Well, I want to close with something very personal. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34 and verse 31. Very beautiful passage of Scripture. Ezekiel 34 and verse number 31. Ezekiel 34 and verse 31. And God says to Ezekiel, And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. What a glorious privilege to be a part of the flock of God, to be one of the sheep and the great chief shepherd's sheepfold, to be a part of something that great. All these wonderful things Jesus has come to this earth to do, to die for us, to live for us, to lead us, and one day, praise God, coming for us. Our future is the brightest today. The world all around us is gloomy and dark. It's going to get worse and worse and darker, but every day that we live in this life, we're moving one day closer to the coming of our chief shepherd. He's going to come for us, and we'll get that crown of glory that never fades away. So you stop and think about it, how Jesus ministers to us. He died for us. Nobody ever died for me but Jesus. Nobody ever loved me like Jesus. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Nobody ever lived for me like Jesus. No one ever has led me like Jesus. And no one's coming for me one day but Jesus. That's if you're a part of His flock. He has been ministering to us. He is ministering to us today. And He's going to continue to minister to us and come for us. And we'll be with Him forever and forever and forever. Because we're part, He said, of my flock. Preacher, how you get to be one of those in that flock? Well, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You repent of your own sins and ask Him to save you and come into your heart and life and be your Lord and Master and your chief shepherd, and He will. See, if you're not a part of that flock today, you're headed toward that day when He'll say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But now, today, in this very moment right now, you have the opportunity of becoming a precious part of the flock of God. If you put your faith and your trust in Him, repent of your sins, He will save you and make you a part, one of the precious sheep of God. How's it with you? Are you a part of the flock of God? Do you want to be? You know you need to be. Wouldn't you come to Him today and render your heart and life unto Him? We say, "Well, Pastor, I know I've done that." Well, maybe we've taken for granted all the wonderful things that God has done for us. Maybe you've never stopped and just given thought lately to how Jesus died for you. The most ultimate sacrifice anybody could ever make for you and for me is that He died for us. But praise God, He didn't stay dead. He rose again the third day. And He ever lives in heaven, listen, to intercede for us. Anytime I have a need, He's always there to meet my need. If I need wisdom, He's there to give me wisdom. If I need leadership in my life every day, and I certainly do, and all of us do, He's always there to lead us in the right paths and the right direction to make the right decisions and the right choices so that when He comes one day, we won't have to be ashamed. Now listen, not of Him by any means. I'd never be ashamed of Jesus, but that we won't be ashamed of how we've lived before Him until He comes. So what's your decision today? If you don't know Him, come receive Him. If you do know Him, don't ever take for granted what He's done for you, what He's doing for you now, and what He's gloriously one day going to do for us. I believe in the very near future. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, may we just stop and reflect and thank You. Thank You, Lord, for loving us, sinners, condemned, unclean, with the wrath of God, Lord, abiding upon us because we didn't know You. You came to this world and You died for us, Lord. No greater sacrifice could be ever made than You die for us. But that yet You ever live, never to forsake us, never to leave us, always to lead us and guide us. And Lord Jesus, for the great assuring promise that You're going to come for us one day soon. You tell us to occupy till You come. Lord, I pray today for we that have heard the Word, that great desire in our heart to want to hear the Word and feed on the Word and obey the Word will rest assured in our own heart. Maybe there's a person here today who's never been a part of the flock of God. And Lord Jesus, they'd want to come today and say, "Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus." Maybe there are those who know they're a Christian. Maybe, Lord, they've taken for granted what You have been doing, what You're doing for them now, and what You're going to do. And they'd want to come just to appreciate You, Lord, and to praise You and to thank You. Whatever that need may be, I know You're here, Holy Spirit, in the precious presence of God's people to answer every need that shall be here today. By the riches and glory of our Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.